Leaders of Jewish organizations, government officials, and experts from a number of countries, including Russia and the United States, came to Prague this week to review the process of restitution of Jewish property taken during the Holocaust. The event, which focused specifically on the area of immovable property, was held more than 3 years after the adoption of the Terezin Declaration, a document that sought to ease and accelerate the restitution of Holocaust-era assets. However, the conference found that although some progress has been achieved, the Terezin Declaration had failed to provide the momentum the Jewish organizations were hoping for. Jan Richter has more.
In 1994, Irina Novákova began a legal battle to get back the property that once belonged to her grandfather, a Czech Jewish industrialist. His Kohinoor haberdashery factory in Prague, a large art collection and other assets were first stolen by the Nazis and then confiscated by the communists. But 18 years later, Ms. Novákova is still waiting for a final ruling in her case.
It's now laying on the table of Constitutional Court, where it was already once. And before this court, it was several times going through all levels of justice, from district to regional, also Supreme Courts, and all these courts returned the property to the family. So the restitution was successful. But at the end, it was all stopped by the Constitutional Court, and now it's going all around.
Jiřina Novákova, along with other descendants of Holocaust survivors in the Czech Republic and elsewhere, were hoping that things would finally begin moving when in June 2009, 47 countries endorsed the Terezin Declaration. The document called on the country's governments to ease the restitution of Jewish property, private and communal, stolen by the Nazis. 3.5 years later, a conference held at the Czech Foreign Ministry in Prague this week to examine the progress achieved since the adoption of the 2009 document found out that most Central and Eastern European countries have done very little. Herbert Bloch represents the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee.
Some countries have made progress, for example, Lithuania enacted a law for partial compensation for Jewish property, which was a significant step, albeit, you know, not full compensation for what was taken. Serbia passed a law on private property, which then enabled them to begin the implementation of the law on communal property, and Serbia deserves credit for passing that private property law. There are some countries that have stalled the process totally, like Romania, where they've been mired in bureaucratic problems and delays that have effectively made restitution not move forward at all in Romania in the last couple of years. The most egregious example of lack of progress is really moving backwards is Poland.
Poland has so far adopted no legislation on the restitution of private property taken during the Holocaust. Shortly after the 2009 conference, Polish Foreign Minister Radek Sikorski denounced the Terezin Declaration as an escalation of demands, and the Polish government dropped draft legislation providing for the compensation of private Jewish property. Monika Krawczyk is the executive officer for Poland's Foundation for the Preservation of Jewish Heritage.
Poland was working very intensively on the draft legislation of restitution of private properties. Actually, it was came to the conclusion that it's better to do a compensation system rather than return in the original property to the original owners. And the last stage of this legislation was about 2 years ago, when the whole draft went to the Ministry of Finance, and then it was decided that probably it would cost Poland too much to introduce this program, and it was, as I know, officially suspended. So probably we are not talking about final stop, but definitely there is no progress.
Those who seek the return of the properties stolen during the Holocaust therefore have to take their claims to the court individually. They usually win, although the decision to go to court entails lengthy legal procedures. But Ms. Krawczyk says this might cost the Polish state more than the proposed compensation program.
The Ministry of Finance are reporting that the number of those compensation that state treasury has to pay now could be in effect higher than this legislation that was suspended. So hopefully this will be again one more argument for Polish government to start proceeding on that.
No representatives of the Polish government attended the Prague conference this week to clarify the country's position on the issue. For its part, the government of the Russian Federation did send a delegation, headed by Mikhail Khorev from the Russian Foreign Ministry, who explained why his country decided not to adhere to the Terezin Declaration either.
The declaration does not contain the principles which are very essential for our country, because we consider it important to deal with all the issues relating to this question on the basis of the post-war settlement principles, which were fixed in the Yalta and Potsdam conferences. And secondly, we would like to emphasize that it is necessary to regard the Holocaust era as the period which is fixed in the Terezin Declaration from the year of 1933 to the year of 1945.
This means Russia would not consider any demands for the restitution of property confiscated before 1933 or after 1945, and the rest should be paid for by the aggressor states, mainly Germany. In the Czech Republic, individual property claims have to be taken to courts one by one. Jewish organizations got back the majority of their communal property in the 1990s. For the rest, they will be compensated as part of a deal on the restitution of church property adopted by the Czech Parliament earlier this month. Tomáš Kraus from the Federation of Czech Jewish Communities says that if the deal does enter into force, it will meet all their demands.
The implementation is foreseeing two parts. One of them is financial, and we hope that this will be not tackled by any acts, for instance, of the opposition in the future, as there were some discussions already, and secondly, that the implementation of the return of those properties in REM will be also not threatened by, let's say, excuses from those who are holding our properties today. So it's a condition, of course, but if these conditions will be fulfilled, we can say that our claims have been met.
Another country that has been heralded as an example of good practice in dealing with the wrongs of the past is Austria, where a fund has been set up to compensate for property claims. Its director, Hanna Lessing, says the Austrian government moved to action after several class action lawsuits were filed against the country.
Around 1999, there was the class actions against the Swiss banks, against Germany, the slave labor and forced labor, also against Austria. So it was not on our own that we decided to restart the process. It was due to class actions from America. We had to deal with the issue. And this is how we came up with systems which definitely help. One of the criticisms that I always accept, which is true, is that we had a capped amount within the General Settlement Fund for private property compensation, which was fixed at the level of $210 million. We didn't know in the beginning how many claims we would have. Finally, we had 160,000 individual claims. Therefore, only a tiny portion of the real assessed value could be restituted or compensated, and it was a 12%, which is very low.
One of the reasons why the Terezin Declaration seems to have failed to become a turning point in the long-standing issue of Jewish property restitution in Central and Eastern Europe is the fact that as a non-binding document, it puts the countries under little pressure to follow its principles. I asked restitution specialist from the U.S. Claims Conference, Ari Buchheister, for his thoughts on the reasons why the process has been so slow.
I think that the leverage that may have once existed, certainly after the war, maybe after the fall of communism, when a number of Eastern and Central European countries wanted to be in NATO, and the leverage that existed when Central and Eastern European countries wanted to be in the European Union, that was the time. That was the most effective time to use it. But it wasn't used. And now, what's left? What's left are, you know, keeping raising the issue, talking about the morality of it. And I think what it requires are a continuation of that, plus maybe high-level delegations from the countries that are interested going to the countries where more work is to be done.
Jiřina Nováková sat through the conference on Tuesday and listened to people from various countries reporting on the progress that has or has not been achieved. I asked her if she thought that the efforts of the Jewish organizations will eventually help her case as well.
Such a conference is, there are such nice people and they are very enthusiastic in it, but it doesn't help the case. It's just to say we are still here and it's still running, but I don't know any individuals who were successful since the last conference 3 years ago.